I am very, very pleased to have with me this morning Senator Mike McClatchen. Yes, and he is from Danbury. Michael, good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning, Brad. Thanks for having me on, and thanks for talking about this important topic. I mean, it's just amazing the Wall Street Journal put into one short editorial.
I couldn't believe it. I saw it.
It just gave us a real clear picture of what's going on here.
Well, again, you know something, from 1976 to 1991, we here in Connecticut led the country in GDP growth. After that, what happened? And it's your turn now.
Well, it's interesting you say that. You know, that same period of time, the city of Danbury welcomed Union Carbide Corporation. They moved, sold a huge building in Manhattan and built a huge building up in Danbury and brought 1,500 employees with them.
Wow.
And so that company, that was in 1980. And the only thing left of that company now is Praxair. Obviously, they're being sold off to a German company now. But the point is that that was such a rock and roll period of time in Connecticut that a Fortune 50 company at the time would sell a skyscraper in Manhattan and move to Danbury, Connecticut was unheard of. But that was all because of our economy and no taxes and things like that. And the Democrats just say, well, no, that's not going to happen again. Well, sure it will. Look at other states. So 1976 to 91, we got the taxes, the income tax, thanks to Governor Weicker, who, by the way, campaigned on no income tax.
That's right. I'll never forget that.
Yeah. And so there we get the income tax. And, you know, it started out with a little skinny income tax, and now it's up to 7%. Listen, both Democrat and Republican governors have raised the income tax.
That's right.
So, you know, we can share the liability for doing that. But our biggest problem that has happened since the rock and roll fairy tale economy that the Wall Street Journal called it for Connecticut back in 76 to 91, the big difference is that was the time when the money was rolling in, and instead of socking away money for the pension funds and all of the future liabilities, they spent it. And that's what happened with the income tax. You know, that was supposed to be temporary.
That's right.
They didn't make it temporary. It's permanent. And so now all these deferred costs, like pension, health care benefits for retirees, excuse me, those costs are going to go up 40% in 5 years. It's unbelievable.
So 40%
discretionary spending for a governor is going to drop precipitously for the next governor, and then the following governor even more so. So it's a very tough road ahead for the next governor of Connecticut.
You know something. I remember vividly when the late Governor William O'Neill said to me, and we were talking about a state income tax, he said, Brad, I will never, ever have a state income tax and put it on the people. That's what he said to me, and he didn't.
And you know, well, Bill O'Neill, I guess, would be considered a moderate Democrat today. He would probably scratch his head trying to figure out what's going on in his party now, but my opponent, for instance, is doing nothing but talking about spending more money.
I know.
You know, let's give out free college. Let's give out, we need Medicare for all. All these, you know, billions and billions of dollars in new spending. And they just, it's like la-la land. How can you be talking about spending more money when we're running $2+ billion deficits? 10% of our whole budget in the state of Connecticut is red ink. And you're talking about spending billions more? How are you going to do that? Well, they just want to wave a magic wand and tax those rich people in Greenwich and Darien. They don't understand that all we're doing is cutting off your nose to spite your face, because when they leave, you don't have that income to tax anymore. So that's why we're in the quandary we're in today.
Do you believe, and you have been in the political atmosphere for a long, long time and have done a good job, too, I might add. Do you believe that we can do it this time? I don't know what it is in me, but something tells me that it's not going to be the change. Maybe I'm completely wrong. I don't know. But I've talked to an awful lot of people because I get out a lot. And I've talked to Democrats. I've talked, you know, and I've had Democrats. I heard one guy tell me, I'm forgetting I'm a Democrat this time. That's what he said to me.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I'm an eternal optimist, Brad. I have to stay that way. And here, I will tell you that I told every Republican candidate for governor that would listen to me, I told them, if you do your job, if you get elected and do your job, you're going to have a real tough time getting reelected, because you're going to have to make so many very challenging, difficult decisions that people in your own party are going to be mad at you. So the next governor has really got to roll up their sleeves and park the politics. I mean, park the politics and make the tough choices. That's what's got to happen. And that means being able to convince a majority of the legislature to go along with him. You know, the legislature is going to mean an awful lot what the next governor can do. So I'm hopeful that Stefanowski has a shot at doing this, because he's the only one that's really talking about a plan to make big, serious changes.
I saw him in church yesterday.
Good.
Yep.
Well, you know, but if he has a majority Democrat legislature, you know, he's going to have to go spin the bottle with them. And that's not going to work, because we're just going to postpone the agony and kick the can down the road. That's all we've done. I've been there 10 years in the state Senate, and we just keep kicking the can down the road. It was only in the last year that we were able to get some substantive structural changes to the way budgets are handled in the state of Connecticut. But, you know, he's got to have some votes in the legislature to make this happen.
Well, we've got to have somebody who will have a profile in courage, will come in to do the job and not worry about whether he's going to win again or not.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. It's tough choices have to be made, and you know, we're hopeful that, you know, this is a guy that can do it. I believe he is. He's talking about the right ideas. You know, his opponent, another person that's, you know, talking about things that are going to cost all kinds of money.
I know.
I mean, I don't understand how anybody could even be thinking about spending more money in this environment in the state of Connecticut. We can't pay the bills we have now. And, you know, the teachers are upset because their pension plan is, you know, they're worried about their pension plan being funded. The state employees were promised a rosy picture for the rest of their lives. And, you know, now the payments due for their pension plan, and we don't have the money for it. So how can you talk about spending more money when you can't even pay the bills you've already promised? So that's what this next governor's got to deal with, and it is a huge, huge challenge.
Well, again, I appreciate all the times that you've joined me, and we've been able to get this information out to the folks that at least listen to this radio program, and I know that I'll be talking with you again soon.
Thanks, Brad. Be well.